Our study tonight is out of Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 14, Paul's example of unwinding from ministry stress. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles, from Jerusalem to Rome. So we can learn a lot about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. Acts 21 to 14 records how Paul faced a number of humanly very stressful events in his missionary ministry and how he productively responded to each one to edify other believers. However, he needed to unwind himself from the stress. And this passage reveals how he did so, and it offers invaluable insight for us today. It's interesting. A lot of times when we get involved in serving the Lord, we forget that there's a lot of energy that is expended. There's a lot of emotional energy and spiritual energy. And if you don't unwind from that, it can take its tremendous toll. But I'd like to read the verses first, and then we'll look at them. Acts 21 to 14. And after the uproar was ceased, that's the uproar in Ephesus, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came unto Greece and abode there for 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him unto Asia Sosipater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after those days of unleavened bread, and came unto them unto Troas in 5 days, where we abode for 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they had been gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten, had talked a long while, even until the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship, and sailed to Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. Okay, in Acts chapter 20, verses 1 to 12, Paul faced several very stressful ministry events, and he reacted by seeking to edify other people. Paul was always this very selfless man. He faced and handled a citywide, hours-long riot against his teaching at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verses 1a and b. The silversmith Demetrius had inflamed other craftsmen against Paul's opposition to worshiping man-made idols, what led to an hours-long citywide riot in Ephesus back in Acts chapter 19, 21 to 34. We covered that last week. Well, after the city's chief executive officer had stilled the crowd and dismissed it with the warning that they might rouse a fearful Roman reprisal, Paul edified the Ephesian church by calling it together, encouraging them, and giving his farewell to them. He left for Macedonia to give the believers at Ephesus rest. It's interesting, verse 1. Paul called on them, the disciples embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. He was leaving them because the riot had been stirred up because of him. And Paul figured, you know, if I stay here, there's likely more trouble to arise. So I'm going to give the brethren here a little bit of peace. I'm going to give them a break. So he left. And Paul was always mindful of the need to give people and Christians around him help. Paul then faced and handled a plot against his life when he arrived and ministered in Greece. When he had gone through Macedonia encouraging the disciples, Paul came to Greece. However, when he learned that unbelieving Hebrews had plotted to attack him as he was about to sail to Syria, and that means the plot likely involved assassinating him on board ship and disposing of his body at sea, Paul decided not to travel directly to the eastern Mediterranean to be in Jerusalem by Passover, but to take a circuitous route involving land and short sea trips back through Macedonia to encourage believers there, hoping at best to make it to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And of course, Pentecost came 50 days after Passover. So Paul then is also thinking of this situation. He wants to help people. And since it's smart not to just get on board ship because of the plot that was there, he was going to go back north and to the east around to Macedonia and then take a ship over to Troas. Meanwhile, he was going to send the other men across. So Paul is thinking, even though he has to go back, if he has to go back by land, he's going to go ahead and encourage those dear brethren of his in Berea, Thessalonica, Philippi, back up in that part of the world. Then Paul also faced and handled a potential threat to the offering that he was taking to Jerusalem believers. The mention of his traveling companions, three of whom were from Macedonia, four of them from Asia Minor, in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, implies what is stated elsewhere, that Paul was concerned for the collection for the saints at Jerusalem. And these men who accompanied Paul carried funds from the churches. Paul was likely concerned about the focus of his foes on himself. So to guard the funds from theft, he briefly distanced himself from his companions who carried the funds, and he sent them ahead of him by ship directly across the sea over to Troas, which was due east, while he went by land north and northeast through Macedonia before meeting them at Troas. So Paul's still thinking of the believers. He doesn't want that money to be taken. If he's with them and they're with him and the enemy are after him, if they're going to get him, fine. Get him, but not without the money. Leave the money for the dear believers in Jerusalem. Here's Paul. He's always thinking of the other guy. And a very gracious man. So, Paul then handled the tragic death of a young man during his ministry at Troas. On the first day of the week, when the believers at Troas met to break bread, Paul spoke with them, for he planned to leave the next day, thus prolonging his speech until midnight. Incidentally, this verse that says that he met to break bread with them on the first day of the week, that's Sunday. This is the clearest verse in the New Testament that Sunday was the normal meeting day of the Apostolic Church. Now we know very early, by the second and even the third centuries, that they were meeting Sunday nights. The reason for that, the slaves had to work during the day, but they were free at night. So the church got together and they broke bread and they had communion services each Sunday night. But this is when they were ministering on Sunday. Well, the meeting occurred in a well-lit upper room, three stories up, and a young man by the name of Eutychus sitting in the window. And remember, these walls were probably about 18 inches thick because they're made of a brick and there was plaster. And so he was sitting in the wall up in the window because there was air and the sea breezes there from Troas. And he sunk into a deep sleep. And his head was propped up against the window, but when he slept, he lost his balance, of course, and then he flipped out of the window, and that's what happened. But Paul was long in preaching, so, if you happen to go over, remember the Apostle Paul went over. He preached. Anyway, as Paul was long in talking, he fell down from the third story, and he died. Paul then went down, he bent over the young man's body, he took him in his arms and said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him," obviously raising him from the dead. Now, this is the only event that we have where Paul raised a person from the dead. But this also shows that the apostles had all the gifts. And Paul could raise the dead. In fact, in another place, Paul said that he spoke in tongues more than all the rest of the people there in Corinth. So, and Paul could teach. He could do a lot of things. So we believe the apostles had all the spiritual gifts, but Paul raised this man from the dead. After Paul had gone back upstairs and broken bread and eaten, he spoke again until daybreak. Now, you talk about preaching. Before departing from Troas, The believers were very comforted by Eutychus' restoration. So look at it. Paul has had this citywide riot that he's faced in Ephesus. He's left there. There's a plot against his life in Greece. So he's left there. He's concerned about the threat of the offering, so he sends the men who were traveling with him, he sends them on ahead over to Troas by boat. Well, he goes on land, so if possible, he can maybe draw the people after him. And then Paul faced the tragic death of this young believer, and he raised him from the dead. There's a lot of stress that's involved here, and it's compounded, one event upon the next, and so forth. Well, if all of this repeat ministry stress had taken a human toll on Paul, so he unwound from it in verses 13 and 14. Luke and Paul's other traveling companions went by ship from Troas around Cape Lectum to Assos, while Paul journeyed on foot 20 miles along the coastal road from Troas to Assos, planning to meet them at the port of Assos. Let me kind of draw a picture up here, pretending my hand out here is a peninsula. Up here is Troas. Assos is down here. So they're going to take the ship going around the peninsula like this. Paul's going to travel this way. Paul's taking, it's 20 miles this way, it's quite a bit longer this way with ship. But Paul had made arrangements, and he knew that he could walk probably faster the 20-mile trip by foot from Troas down to Assos, where with the ship, in those days there were sailing ships, so they had to tack. Depending upon what was happening, the wind, they would have to go in an awkward way in order to get the wind. And then go around, especially if the wind was coming from the north or the northwest. They probably had to tack the whole way around. So that's what Paul decided to do. So he journeyed on foot 20 miles along the coastal road from Troas to Assos, planning to meet them at the port of Assos. Why? Paul had arranged for this journey so he could spend some time walking alone to unwind from his recent ministry stress. Believe it or not, years ago I was on vacation, and I was going to Wittenberry Baptist Church, and Pastor Rich Ainsworth was there. He's another graduate from Dallas Seminary, and he preached on this passage, and my wife and I both remember it. We were on vacation at the time, and Rich pointed out how important it is to take a break from ministry, and Paul did that, and he did it by walking. Now, walking is one of the healthiest things you can do, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally. Your nerve endings end at the bottom of your feet. And when you're walking along and you're getting that type of an exercise, there are certain hormones that are released within the brain that enable people to relax. And also, the scenery's nice. But Paul was alone. He could spend time praying. He could spend time concentrating on the things of the Lord. But it was a great way to unwind without anybody else around him. He'd been peopled all over the place. He'd been thinking of others, but he recognized he needed to unwind. So that's what he did. He took the road. Someday, if I ever get to travel out there, I'd like to walk that. I don't know. It might take a couple of days, but it'd be interesting. Well, anyway, Paul joined his companions at Assos, where he continued his journey then on towards Jerusalem in verse 14. So after facing several very stressful events in his ministry, responding to each by helping others, Paul sensed his own need mentally and emotionally to unwind from the stress. So he spent time doing so by walking to Assos. So if we face a lot of stressful events in ministry, may we heed Paul's example and unwind as needed. It's amazing how the Lord times this. I had been preparing this message, and I got a telephone call from one of the members of our church, and this member was facing an enormous amount of stress. I think this was on Friday. And wanted some counsel. And as the person was sharing with me the trial that they were facing, I immediately went to prayer and said, God, I need some wisdom on this one. And it was kind of tense scene for me because I wanted to make sure I made the right recommendation. And so I did what the Lord indicated, what the Lord brought to mind. But the tension that this person was going through bothered me Friday. And then we had to go into Saturday. Of course, Saturday we have the memorial service, and then we had the storm mixed up. Didn't know if we were going to make it to the memorial service. Went through that. Then we had today. So it was kind of like two Sundays back-to-back for us. But all this time, there was this concern. I've been in prayer for this believer in our church. Well, this believer met me and talked with me and shared with me how appreciative they were with the advice that I had given. The passage, the scripture passage, happened to have worked out well, and they were very grateful for it. And so I just relaxed. Okay. So we're getting ready to go on our vacation starting at midnight tonight. I mean, y'all can call me up until then, but starting at midnight, forget about it. The phone rings, let it go. Okay, I might pick it up and hang it up. I don't know. But whatever. But we're already kind of relaxing. But I can see from having to apply this passage in regards to what happened in regards to this individual. Amidst all the other things and the busyness that was going on, there is a need. As human beings, we have a limited resources emotionally, mentally. We have to watch out, and we have to take care that we guard ourselves. I've heard of lots of stories of pastors experiencing burnout, and I can understand that. But you have to manage that. And not only pastors, but people in ministry, those of us who are teaching Sunday school classes or Bible classes, those of us who are involved in other types of ministries, they're, you know, the evil one has a tendency to go get after us and pressure us. So we need to take the time that is needed and break from that. And as we do that, I believe the Lord really honors it and blesses it.